Teachers Talking Tech is a podcast by teachers for teachers. The podcast is fully funded by us, Mike and Eric, and we are not sponsored by anyone. So you know that when we share something, we believe that it is good for students and good for teachers. If you like what you hear, take a moment and donate through PayPal to brown145@yahoo.com. We appreciate your support.
Welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
And today we're going to be talking happiness. So I was looking at this study, and it was a Gallup panel study just from 2018, so very recently. And it was asking teachers about devices, whether they're helpful or harmful. And they asked them different questions like, are they helpful or harmful when it comes to learning academics? Mm-hmm. And something like 70% of teachers said, yeah, they're helpful. But where it was really glaring to me was when they said, hey, what about students' mental health? 4% of teachers said that they were helpful, mm-hmm. and 70% of teachers said they were harmful.
Wow.
And so I started thinking about that. I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Right? And you could say like, okay, social media or this, right. that. But that's not even really school. That's outside of school. Mm-hmm. So then I just started thinking farther, like, okay, so hold on. You know, are we kind of making school into a place of sadness?
Which is pretty heavy.
It is heavy. And I think that, you know, you see these pictures of kindergartners coming in their first day of school. They're like, broom, 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 what's up? I'm ready to go. And then their second day, they're like, they're like exhausted, right? And why is that? You know, what is it that we need to change or what's going on? And how's tech work into that?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there was an article I found. This is by Bernie Blesky, which is a great name, by the way. It was called School Deliberately Create Unhappiness, but really the article was talking about how you could really see that happening, but maybe some ways to turn that around. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the three major factors for unhappiness in schools, and then we're going to talk about some ways that you could basically combat that.
Kind of change mm-hmm. that up, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the first one is relationships and belonging. So his argument in his article was that we basically will move friends away from each other, mm-hmm. separate kids, right? And we all do that.
We're
right?
all guilty of that.
I think I just did it 10 minutes ago.
And that feeling of belonging and relationship is so important to adults and children.
Right.
And schools tend to break that up. Okay. So, you know, like, I think what would be a way that you can combat that? I mean, what would be a way that, you know, you could combat that in your class? What do you think, Marie?
Well, I think both with social aspect and one-to-one. We are one-to-one, and I'll have moments where, I mean, they're all sucked into their iPad. They're all, you know, invested in their own screen time. But then I think this is almost really eerie silence. Like, mm-hmm. So I've been trying really hard to do more group projects where they're collaboratively working on one device instead of all in their own.
Right.
Yeah, collaborative projects, mm-hmm. that's the one thing, man. With one-to-one,
yeah.
you tend to get into that whole everybody's got their own, they got
to
use their own.
It's so nice to everyone has their device, but you have to bring that social, that sharing. Yeah. That's so much, especially part of the elementary foundation, is we're trying to create those sharing skills, social skills. And with one-to-one, those kind of go away.
Mm-hmm. And what I've found is, you know, with a one-to-one device, certain at times the kids are all working on their own independently. And like you said, there's that eerie silence sometimes. But when you give them the opportunity to work on something maybe they're more interested in, they start working together, mm-hmm. and that they pick a device to use if they're using a device, it really fosters that collaboration and just kind of working together, that natural mm-hmm. Gravitation kids have towards each other.
Yeah. Well, and I think if you're considering the structure of your classroom too, that's another big one. Like this year I've let my kids choose where they sit along with flex seating. Mm-hmm. So before flex seating, I would let them kind of choose where they worked, but then I'd make them sit in a certain spot. Where what I've kind of wrapped my head around is that kids cannot work on how they work around other people unless you let them try it, right?
Right.
Letting my kids choose their own spots and letting them fall into those mistakes and then talking to them
about
it.
Problem solving and working through it.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it is annoying. I'm not going to lie. I mean, letting kids make
it. You get tired of doing it. You do. It's important.
And you do. And the idea is, you know, if I let them make those choices, they really are learning how to exist within a community rather than it being the authoritarian kind of regime of me being like, you are here, you may not sit by so-and-so.
And take ownership of themselves. And it to me, it's more, what do you need as a learner? Sitting by this person isn't working for you as a learner.
Right.
So how are you going to fix it? Like pushing that onto them and having them take ownership.
Yeah. So the next thing that he talked about in this article was autonomy and freedom. And we've done a podcast about this, about giving children choices. But we wanted to build on that a little bit because I think that when you give children more freedom, again, they make more mistakes. But in the I think kids love that. They really cherish that that freedom when you give it to them. So, Mike, you do Genius Hour.
Right. Right? So I've been doing Genius Hour in my classroom about 5 years or 6 years now. And this is where I see the kids really kind of collaborate really well, and they mix it up. They work with different people, and just having that freedom of I can work on whatever I want for this chunk of time, and show my learning in any way that I want. Mm-hmm. It really just you can see the joy in their face. You can see how much they're enjoying it. It's their favorite part of the day. It's the favorite part of the week. It's interesting. I always talk about. I've presented about Genius Hour a few times, and I talk about the inside recess phenomenon. When recess inevitably comes after Genius Hour, I always have kids that want to stay in and keep working. And I don't ever remember having that with spelling or math or you know even some of the subjects where I think I really zoop it up really well with like science. But they're ready to go to recess. But with this, they want to keep working on their project because it truly is their project. Yeah. Everything else is my project I gave to them or my assignment I gave to them. But this is there. The kids are doing research. They're collaborating on projects.
That is true.
They're doing digital projects or whatever, publishing digitally at the end or whatever. And they're doing a lot of the things that we're asking them to do. They're just doing it however they want to do it instead of in that cookie cutter box of the assignment I've given them.
Right. And then, you know, Marie, you've talked about how you will let the kids, you know, choose how they want to show what they learn.
Projects.
Yeah.
It's funny. I read a quote the other day. It was actually a quote about parenting, but it's kind of, I've taken it into my teaching. And the quote was like, as a parent, you need to aim for yes. So as a teacher, I've kind of taken that as aim for yes.
Okay.
So I think like in terms of like with the kids, if they want to do something and it's not something that's going to hurt anybody or hinder our day and it's on track and on focus, like what's wrong with me saying yes to that?
Right.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And we've done that a lot with projects. Here's what you need to show me. How are you going to show me? And they'll come up. Can I do it this way? Can I do it this way? And as long as we're getting the outcome, they're getting the point of what the assignment is. What's wrong with me saying yes?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I've reframed my teaching this year. I aim for yes.
That's great. I did that just the other day. I had a student said, can we read outside? And I was like, yeah, why can't we read outside?
Yeah.
It's gorgeous out. We're going to do read to self anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's do it sitting outside on the grass.
Yeah.
It was your son, by the way, his suggestion.
Of course it was.
He's a very astute student.
So if you want to take the autonomy and freedom to the next level, by the way, Silent Day is a great way to do that. And it again, this is one of those things where you really got to commit to it because it is not easy. But you may remember back, we interviewed Paul Solars, and great author. He has this idea of Silent Day where you basically are saying, I'm not talking the entire day. You're going to make choices. You're going to trust yourself. And I am not going to jump in. And it is amazing to see the difference in how kids act when you just take when you take yourself out of the equation. They really have to, you know, you talk
step
about
up, yeah.
Yeah, critical thinking skills, everything else. I would highly recommend that. You have to set it up a bit, but at the same time,
you can't do it on the third day of school.
No,
you got to have, you know, you have to have your routines in place.
You do.
The kids have to know how to run their classroom, but
you do.
By this point in the year and even earlier in the year, they know how to do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing when somebody comes to you with a problem and you just kind of shrug your shoulders. And then they have to think about how to solve it. I love it. But Silent Day is another one if you're trying to work toward autonomy and freedom, letting kids know that their choices matter. So the last one was meaningful work. And meaningful work can be very difficult. Marie, you were talking about like how-tos, right?
Yeah.
How-to writings. How did you make those more meaningful for your kids?
Well, I think, like I said, when my kids were not doing what they're supposed to do on their iPads or wanting to have some free time, what they wanted to do was look things up on YouTube or on Epic, and they wanted to watch videos. And what these videos were about were how-tos like that. And that's, I think, what they go home and do is they go home and watch YouTube, and it's how they're learning is mm-hmm. through YouTube. So we have a whole writing unit on how-tos. And so to them, you know, I said you could make a video, and we watched some YouTube videos that they might have already seen at home, and they loved it. Yeah. They, I mean, they still are making how-tos, you know, 2 months after the unit is done. But this is something that they do at home, something they're really interested in and invested in, and they've loved it.
Yeah, so rather than just taking your how-tos and doing them on paper,
right,
but then publishing them on your device, you've actually, like, turned the whole thing on its head.
Yeah, and we do the writing part. You know, I'd say, like, you have to have – these people that make these videos, they have a script. They have a plan before mm-hmm. they do it. So we do that writing piece, mm-hmm. but then it's the presentation piece, like – you could make a video. You could make a book. How do you want to do this?
Right.
So it's been cool. Yeah.
Well, one thing I tried this year that was really successful is we started doing photo walks. And photo walks were just taking our iPads, going outside, and trying to take artful photography. And at first I was like, you know, I don't know if second graders will be able to do this. But they were amazing. Mm-hmm. And the more you did them, the more kids you'd like teach them little tiny things about composition, or I mean, just things you can find.
Placement of the image in the mm-hmm. photo.
Well, how to add filters, how mm-hmm. to crop the image, little things like that. And even though they were in the end just pictures of like leaves, they were pictures of just cool little up close, you know, pictures of plants or things like that.
Kids really have an eye for it. They do. That's a passion they could start developing now.
And it was meaningful for them. Mm-hmm. They felt like they were artists. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you want in the end. You want your mathematicians to feel like mathematicians.
Right.
You want your readers to feel like readers. And that was really great too. So just some ways where you can use your devices to breed creativity, collaboration, those four C's that mm-hmm. keep on coming up over and over, the critical thinking skills, collaboration. You're just not going to do those by doing Math Blaster.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten any hate mail from the developers of the Math Blaster app.
I don't think you guys have ripped
I don't think
Math
they're
Blaster
around anymore. But
probably not, yeah.
Well, you know the type of app. We always talk about this. But really, you know, in order to breed that collaboration and creativity, mm-hmm. you have to use apps that are creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting, the evolution of our use of our devices that we've had over the mm-hmm. last 6 years, just in our school alone, where we got them and we filled them with apps, and then we scaled the apps back and we wanted them to be more creative, and then we wanted every kid to have their own, and now we want them to have their own but not to use them in isolation. I mean, it's just, it's been amazing to watch this evolution that we've had here.
Yeah. So just in closing, you know, as I reflect on, like, why did educators feel this way, you know, that only 4% of them said that devices are good for mental health, I think really an overarching theme here is it's how out of touch our curriculum and our teaching practices are. We're trying to fit tech into this old system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we're blaming it for not increasing happiness and learning outcomes.
Right. Right.
And it just doesn't work, you know. And I think it really is, hey, we spent $200,000 on these iPads.
You better be using them.
And it better improve your scores and growth, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's the wrong question, you know, whether or not it improves your scores and growth.
Right. These devices aren't test prep devices.
No. How did it change
the
way
you teach?
Goodness
gracious, we could give thousands of test prep worksheets for less than $200,000 a year or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's use these devices for what they're intended to, to create.
And to change the way our students learn and the way mm-hmm. we teach them. I mean, that's really what we want. So if you know, it can be one of those tools to allow students to find their happiness through choice, voice, and activities that involve collaboration. Really, mm-hmm. that's what you should be going for. All right. Well, hopefully we gave you some great ideas. And if nothing else, you're thinking about how much happiness is in my classroom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
which
just
is a good thing to reflect on.
All the time. All the time. I want my kids coming to my class. I don't want them to have to be dragged out of the car.
Right? You want them getting here is half the battle.
Yeah, I'd rather have them
be here is half the battle.
That's right. When they're like 40 years old, I want them to say, you know, oh, second grade, I had Mr. Robinson. Not, I had second grade, I had Mr. Robinson. There you go. There's my dream. My dream. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, giving us a listen. You can connect with us on Facebook at Teachers Talking Tech. We have a YouTube channel with lots of little videos and tutorials on there. Just go to YouTube, search for Teachers Talking Tech. You can follow us on Twitter at
Teach Some Tech.
That's right. And you can follow us on Snapchat and Instagram at, I'm just totally messing with you, Marie. We don't have Snapchat or Instagram. I'm totally messing with you. No, we're not going there. We're too old. I think on Snapchat, instead of asking are you 18, it asks are you 40, and if you say yes, it blocks you.
Your device explodes in your hand.
That's right. All right, this is Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
See ya.